school board. And my question is, are you going to be with me when we try to move millions of dollars down into the classroom and out of such things as consulting fees and extraneous testing and process?
Tune in to KABU April 27th through 30th at 5:45 for special school board election coverage.
KABU Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Art of the Story 11th Annual Storytelling Festival. This year, Washington County Cooperative Library Services hosts its 11th annual week-long storytelling extravaganza, features 17 storytelling performances throughout Washington County. Performers in this year's festival include Judith Black, Sam Payne, performers from Portland's Brody Theater Company, and more. Again, that's the Washington County Library's 11th Annual Storytelling Festival, The Art of the Story, from April 11th through April 18th. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today is Jasmine Zimmer-Stuckey, community organizer with Columbia Riverkeeper. We recently, many of us, were at a meeting, a public hearing, that was created, and as I understand it, to take testimony from the public on the proposed Pembina terminal. We spent hours listening to cogent, well-informed, well-researched statements from members of the audience, members of the activist community there in full force. And it appeared throughout that the panel was actually listening. The representatives of Pembina were not able to provide answers to most of the questions, and those that they did provide answers to, the answers were not researched. They appeared to these representatives to have simply shown up, and they didn't appear to take the whole thing seriously. Let's put it that way. They seem to have been rooted out of their dens and trotted up on stage because the assumption apparently being that the people who would be there didn't deserve answers to their questions. They didn't deserve to be taken seriously. And indeed, it turned out that they weren't. In the balance of things, it seemed extraordinary to me how a panel of presumably intelligent people could sit there for 5 hours and listen to a preponderance of voices calling for a halt to the proposed project, and a handful of representatives of Pembina who made little or no sense at all and seemed to be taking the whole thing as a joke, and that vote on behalf of Pembina, basically, is what it came down to. We do have a few headlines. I'm going to ask Jasmine to be patient for a moment. The protest interrupted Duke Energy CEO at North Carolina State University, student representatives of fossil-free NC as you protested at the lecture. We mentioned that yesterday. I'd love to talk more about this. And caught in the act, the Tea Party hired actors for a fake anti-environment protest. Florida is trying to buy Everglades conservation land from Big Sugar, but conservative groups are hiring, get this, fake protesters and complicating the deal. From the perpetually busy, we're not making this up department. And it seems that the actor protesters were exposed when a political group called Progress Florida released a screenshot of a local acting association's help wanted posting on Facebook, offering $75 a day for people to pose as protesters. I kid you not. And big news, fast food workers are striking in hundreds of cities on April 15th. MoveOn.org members around the country standing with them, many other groups. And let's see, in Portland, that protest will be South Park Avenue and Washington, April 15th at noon. And of course, we're going to be talking a lot about that in the days ahead. Giant companies like McDonald's are making billions, while middle class and working Americans are struggling to get by. And in his first 24 hours as a contender, Paul lectured an NBC anchor about how to ask a question, told another to print his five-minute answer when asked an abortion question that he'd answered earlier. And he then picked a fight on the issue with the chairwoman of the Democratic Party. And he asked his campaign attorneys to send a cease and desist letter to television stations that are running ads critical of Paul's previous statements. After facing questions about these remarks, Paul turned to lawyers to make the case that the ads did not represent the senator's current views. And President Obama is making his first trip south of the U.S. border since February of 2014. U.S. imposed austerity measures still in effect in Jamaica, and yet Obama had the nerve to go to the graves of Marcus Garvey and Bob Marley. And this is another Utah tale, so hang on, especially if you're a barn owl. A plea deal for a former TV pitchman in Utah accused of kicking a barn owl in flight while riding a motorized paraglider. See, you can't make this up. Well, in any case, his plea fell through on Thursday when he refused to. He didn't understand that in order to cop a plea deal, you have to admit to the crime in the first place. The guy calls himself Super Dell Schantz, known in Utah for his shrill, hyperactive commercials. He ran down an owl. And District Court Judge David Campbell denied a request to halt new uranium mining at the Canyon Uranium Mine, 6 miles from the Grand Canyon National Park South Rim. And watch out, everyone. Here it comes. The Pacific Northwest and Pacific Southwest regions of the U.S. Forest Service, again, are continuing public conversations on the process of revising forest land management plans in the Northwest Forest Plan Amendment area, gathering ideas from the public. Watch, just watch, gathering ideas from the public and then tossing them and then grinding them under their heels. Wait for it, you'll see. A Montana pipeline that spilled 30,000 gallons of oil had to be split at the site of an exposed well. Had been split at the site of an exposed well with lines crossed under the Yellowstone River. What resulted was a massive mistake was a warning issued to pipeline companies nationwide, just a warning, to take precautions against flooding. The warning was meaning that their pipelines are too close to the surface in areas that flood every year. And the same thing happens again and again. The warning was scheduled to be published yesterday in the Federal Register. What it does is cite the recent Yellowstone spill and several earlier accidents caused by flooding or similar issues at river crossings. This has happened so far in Iowa, Nebraska, and Montana. There are thousands of such river crossings nationwide, 64 alone in Montana. Federal regulations require pipelines to be buried only 4 feet under river bottoms. What are they thinking? And on that note, we want to go to Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey and talk a little bit about what happened at this Pembina hearing and how the outcome of the initial vote has basically changed the game, or has it? Good morning, Jasmine. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Yeah, so the Planning and Sustainability Commission voted on Tuesday night to approve the recommendation of a code amendment to allow Pembina Propane Export Terminal to operate at Terminal 6 on the Columbia River. The next step is that vote, or their recommendation, goes to City Hall. And our City Council has actually already announced a tentative date where they plan to see or to hear this code amendment, and that's April 30th. So time is really important. We just have about 21 days to make sure that City Hall understands that propane export is not the direction for Portland or for our region. All across the Northwest, we're seeing cities and counties reject fossil fuel exports. The city of Vancouver rejecting a proposed oil terminal. The Port of Longview rejected a proposed propane export terminal, and yet the city of Portland is slated to essentially roll out the red carpet for propane export here in our city. This green city, the city that is nationally acclaimed for our climate action plan, et cetera. So those messages just didn't get through to enough of the members of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. We did have some heroes. I really appreciate the commissioners, the four commissioners who stood up for our city's values and for public safety and voted no, but we had six commissioners that voted yes. And what they voted yes for was a 5.3-mile blast zone that Portlanders would be living in if this terminal went in. That's the worst-case scenario blast zone that that Pembina's own report states. This, their own documents say that a 5.3-mile blast zone would be the outcome of a worst-case scenario accident. So we are incredibly galvanized. We think that the hundreds of people who showed up on Tuesday deserve to have their voices heard at City Hall, and we're launching a call-in campaign to City Hall to make sure that even though our city councilors weren't there on Tuesday, we want to let them know that that Portlanders stand in opposition to dangerous propane export from our city. So we're asking people to call. There's five members of the city council, but we're asking you to make three calls. Call Mayor Charlie Hales, call Commissioner Nick Fish, and call Commissioner Steve Novick.
Say that again. And do you have the numbers there for people in case people are writing this down? We'll
yes.
Certainly post this on the KBOO website. Mm-hmm. But if you'd like to go ahead and give that info just one more time for people.
Yeah, we're asking people to call three members of our city council, Mayor Charlie Hales at 503-823-4120, Commissioner Nick Fish, 503-823-3589, and Commissioner Steve Novick at 503-823-4682. We know there's five commissioners. If you want to call all five, excellent. But three phone calls is more than enough to do your citizen duty to the environment today.
And how then, it begs the question, did propane somehow escape the attention of those making decisions in the first place? I mean, attention has been paid to the safety issues arising from coal and oil, mm-hmm. and so forth, and propane seemed to not be taken into consideration.
It
seemed so far, such a far-fetched, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Everybody, anybody who's ever, even people out in the country that use those great massive barbecue machines know that propane is extremely dangerous.
Right.
It says it all over the tanks. Why?
Right. So what I think the proponents of propane export don't want people to realize is that propane is a byproduct of fracking for natural gas and crude oil. So by creating a massive market for propane, we're aiding the market for continued reliance on natural gas and oil. So it's not a bridge fuel because it requires the consistent extraction of natural gas and oil from our earth. So the idea that locking ourselves into the next 50 years of propane use as some sort of bridge fuel doesn't make any sense, because you can't have propane unless you frack for natural gas and oil. So by locking us into a 50-year future with Pembina, we're locking ourselves into a 50-year future with fracking for oil and fracking for natural gas. And that's where, you know, the arguments about, you know, propane being a bridge fuel or propane, you know, helping reduce coal use simply don't, or coal and oil use simply don't make sense, because propane, you don't have propane unless you have more fracking for natural gas and oil. And that's where the city, you know, with its climate action plan to oppose oil export, needs to, you know, take a reality check and realize that, you know, propane comes from oil, comes up when you frack for oil. And so we can't simply oppose oil export, which we hope the city does, they haven't yet, and ignore the propane byproduct, which is, you know, equally destructive.
Well, we have we're absolutely flat out of time. Is there any other information you'd like people to have? Where resource, Columbia Riverkeeper's website, anything else that you would like to mention before we let you go?
Yeah, everything is on ColumbiaRiverkeeper.org, and please call Mayor Charlie Hills, Commissioner Nick Fish, and Steve Novick today and tell them that you're disappointed that Portland is considering becoming a fossil fuel export hub.
And let's not forget, it's tourist season rolling right up, the Rose Festival. But how perfect it would be to be at the airport greeting people coming in to Portland for the festival with the warning that this is not a safe place and it's far from green. Thanks so much for that. My guest has been Jasmine Zimmer-Stuckey, the community organizer with Columbia Riverkeeper. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, April 10th, 2015. Sam Parrish engineered the show for us today. Thanks. Sam Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.